Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Story time.
I'm new to your channel, but I was brought to it because of a possible encounter I experienced this morning around 1:30 or 2 a.m. in a large park on the edge of a Phoenix, Arizona suburb. I'm not too familiar with skinwalkers, I'll admit. I have heard of them by virtue of growing up in the desert, as well as a casual fascination with spooky stories. This morning, I was meeting up with an old friend from high school around 1 a.m. at a nearby park to booze and catch up on life, while walking around the field. We heard a loud, repetitive noise coming from the margin of the park, no lights on that I assumed to be a coyote, but it didn't stop. It sounded almost like a soundbite of a child wailing, but choppily and perfectly repeated. The noise had a sort of mechanical element to it, if that makes sense. We would hear it for intervals of about 10 seconds, then it would stop for a few, and then start again. We were both immediately perturbed and headed back for the car to hang out in a parking lot close by. As we walked away towards the car, however, the noise ceased. Unfortunately, when we arrived at the parking lot, my friend realized he had forgotten his phone somewhere in the field where we had heard that strange, loud noise. We drove back and ran to go pick up the phone and found it. But when we entered the park, the noise started again, but this time from a different corner of the park. Naturally, we bolted out of there and the rest of the night was fine. After the encounter, I had brought up casually the idea of it being a possible skinwalker, and my friend said that he had thought the same thing but was afraid to bring it up. I was shaken to my core by the whole experience. To reiterate, I am not an expert in the paranormal, so I can't really say whether my anxiety about the situation is valid. All I can say is that I have never heard something like that in my life. I'm eager to see if anyone could provide some possible insight into the experience, or has been through something similar. I'm 37-36 at the time of this encounter, and have always been interested in the paranormal. I've had a couple of encounters or experiences that don't quite fit this sub, so I'll post those elsewhere. I'd like to backtrack for a moment and emphasize that being interested in the paranormal does not mean being an outright believer. I'm certainly open to it, but more often than not, I'll enter a situation with an agnostic attitude and instantly develop one of skepticism once I start assessing and evaluating everything. That being said, I do love a good mystery, and don't think for a moment that people who believe in such things are lying or stupid. We all have our reasons for believing what we do. I tried sending this in through voicemail to Monsters Among Us a while ago, but I don't think it ever got aired. Anyway, let's get on with it. I was working 1-5 jobs in 2019. The 0-5 was as an on-call assistant private investigator, and the main one was as a security guard. We mainly did patrols for apartments and a small handful of residential contracts. This particular event took place at 19th Ave and Camelback, which, if you're from Phoenix, you know is a pretty shady part of town. The apartments I patrolled were just south of there. They were predominantly low-income tenants, half of whom were refugees from all over the globe. The complex was well known in the area for theft, violence, break-ins, drug dealing, and so on. I liked patrolling it because I felt like I was helping people who genuinely needed it, and the vast majority of them were very grateful that I was there. I got to know many of them very well, and we would often talk and shoot the breeze before I had to start making my rounds again. One of the people I talked to was a native guy who I won't name for obvious reasons. He was often on his balcony getting drunk and high things which we were supposed to report. But screw that, as long as you weren't causing any trouble or making a lot of noise, I'm not saying anything about it, and would usually say hi to me when I arrived on post, and we'd talk for a while then I'd start my shift. Never any real issues with the guy. He liked listening to his music, having a few beers, and having a blunt or two. Seemed like a nice guy. He had a tattoo on his chest of some Kachina dolls, though I have no idea if they play into this encounter or not. Anyway, in the summer of 2019, I was doing my rounds, and around 8:30 p.m., I heard him chanting loudly in his native language. I went to see if he was okay, as he never did this before. When I got there, he was inside, so I kept doing my patrol until I heard it again not long after. I went back to his side of the complex and saw him, his pregnant fiance, and his son whom I had never met before coming down the stairs, and he looked at me and said, "Hey man, follow me." When I was walking behind them, I saw what looked like a giant knife in the son's hand. But when we got to the parking lot, I could see it was just a very large feather, and his father had two smaller ones, maybe from a juvenile eagle. When we entered the parking lot, I saw a native woman standing there who I had kicked out earlier for being loud and yelling at a guy who was the roommate of the native tenant. I'd seen him before and knew he lived there, but didn't know he was his roommate. I don't remember what they were arguing about this time, but she had her two sons with her now, 10 years old and maybe a 6-month old in a stroller. They were going back and forth with each other, and the father and son began taking the feathers and rubbing them on the children's faces while whispering in their language. The mother flipped the F out. "Don't you put that evil on my babies, you sick F, F you, get the F away from my babies," and so on. I was about to step in and tell them to stop when they stood up and said in a very guilty voice, "We aren't doing anything to hurt the baby. That's why I even brought the security guard to make sure everything is okay," to which she replied, "He doesn't know what the F is going on." Truer words have never been spoken. She then said, "If you guys aren't doing anything wrong, then do it on your pregnant fiancé's belly." The dad says, "Okay," and turns to his son to whisper something in his ear, and now it's the kid's turn to flip the F out. He yells, "You're still evil, I'm half Christian, and I'm not doing this evil shit, etc." and takes off running. The dad and his fiancé yelled at him to come back, and then he takes off after him. I'm stuck there trying to get the lady with the kids to leave now for their own safety. And then I ran off looking for the dad and son. I didn't find them, so I just assumed they left the property, and therefore weren't my problem anymore. Not long after, I saw a fresh blood trail and vomit on the sidewalk, and a knife nearby it, and walked back to the native guy's balcony, where I could now see him getting bandaged up by his fiancé due to having a huge gash on his forehead. I called the cops. I hated doing that, but now it was serious. They came, I explained everything that had happened, and they knocked on his door, but there was no answer. They told me there was nothing they could do since it was a family issue, and the dad that was attacked didn't want to talk to them, which makes sense, I suppose, from their point of view. No charges were ever filed. The next day, I spoke with the manager about the incident. He told me, "Oh, you mean Mike, not his real name? Man, I've been keeping an eye on him. He moved here after he got let out of prison for manslaughter." If any of you are familiar with the process for becoming a skinwalker, you know that one of the big steps to take in order to become one involves murder. I only saw the guy a few times afterwards, and we never spoke of the incident again, but it was always in the back of my mind whenever I saw him. For the record, I don't personally think people can turn into coyotes or wield magical powers. No disrespect intended to anyone at all. However, I do think that some people think they are capable of such things. Anyway, if someone who is more knowledgeable about these things has any ideas, I'd love to hear them, particularly about the feathers and the Kachina tattoos. I knew a native guy years ago who had a specific tattoo put on him by a family member in case he ever got into prison, so he couldn't be recruited by the Warrior Society. The native prison gang think their version of the Aryan Brotherhood, and always wondered if they had any hand in the whole skinwalker thing in the Southwest. Cheers. I attend school in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and in the summer of 2023, I was at home late at night around 1 a.m. hanging out with my roommate at the time. We live in a three-story home. We were in the kitchen on the second floor when we heard a faint moaning. At first, we thought it was the neighbors through the walls, but it started to sound more like a baby, not from next door but outside, at our front door. We started to move toward the stairs to get a better listen, and whatever was there seemed to start scaring things and banging heavily on the door, like a dog or a big four-legged animal. We were freaked out and didn't know what to do. We sat in the living room, and this went on for about 30 minutes. Then, after that time went by, it was more on and off, but we still couldn't go to sleep because of how freaked out we were. I lived on the first floor, so I was not going down there. It kept going on and on, so we decided to call the non-emergency police number. It started back up heavily now as we were on the phone with someone. And we described to the person on the phone what I mentioned before, and on the phone, the person said, "Is that the noise you're describing? I just heard it in the background," so we knew we weren't just hearing things. They said they would send someone, but no one came. So my roommate and I decided we were fed up. I grabbed a kitchen knife, and so did he, and we walked down the stairs as it was still scratching and banging as we went down. I got to the door and looked out the peephole, and nothing was there. We went back upstairs, and it started again for around 10 minutes, and after that, it stopped. I eventually went downstairs and peacefully went to bed. I woke up the next day and checked outside, and there was nothing there, no damage to the door, nothing at all. We still think about it to this day, and are convinced it was a skinwalker. Does anyone have thoughts on this? Was it a skinwalker? A spirit? Anything else? So I went over to my friend's house, and he lives close to the National Forest. We decided to start a fire and just relax for a bit outside. He had to go see what his sister was doing and walked off. I stayed and watched the fire, and it slowly died to embers in about 5 minutes after he left. It was a blazing fire, and there's no way it should have gone out that fast. So it goes out, I put on music, and then I start to hear almost like joints popping, like bubble wrap. I thought nothing of it, but it kept getting closer. I turned around with my flashlight and saw this creature with no eyes, ears, or mouth, basically like the rake. I jumped up and dropped my phone. I quickly ran to my friend's porch and looked back, and it just stared at me, and I saw its fingers reach around the tree. Its fingers were 8 inches or longer. Then it bolted off, and it was so deformed, and it ran like a cheetah without making noises. I told my friend, and we went to look for his sister and heard noises like voices and animals around us and kept seeing things. We found them, and they didn't believe us. We walked back to the house, and everything seemed fine, but after a while, my back felt hot and ached a little. We lifted up my shirt, and there were scratch marks, but no blood. They looked almost like whip marks, and my friend and I are nail biters. I didn't feel any pain while we were looking. This is possibly the scariest thing I've experienced. I'll post my back scratches, and the odd part is my shirt was not ripped. It almost seemed like it was playing with me. Edit. My friend said he has seen the creature twice, and is not sure if it is a skinwalker. But it's the best thing you can match it to. His dad has never seen it, but hears stuff all the time, and the animals they have will start freaking out when no one is around. His sister says we are messing with them, and I don't really care. I have a clear conscience finding them. Also, I had to walk about 3 miles at 2 a.m., and I'm 250 pounds. My fat butt is not doing this for fun if I see danger. I am also working on my weight, so I'm glad I wasn't 300 like I once was. I live on the western side of Vegas. One night, I think it was last summer or fall, my mom and I went up the street to the desert, and I walked into the desert with my phone and black light. The black light was for spotting scorpions, my phone for the flashlight on it, because I was hoping to find a tarantula to let loose in our neighborhood to help control the bark scorpion outbreak. I heard something big following me, so I switched to my phone light. Nothing. Some large rocks off in the distance, small shrubs, level ground. I thought maybe it was a tortoise. So I turned off my phone light, switched back to the black light. The sound of rocks crunching, almost mirroring my own steps this time. Phone light back on. Nothing. I kept my phone light on and walked back to the car. I don't know if it was a skinwalker or a mountain lion or what. But whatever it was following me, mimicking me, and I couldn't see it. That was so long ago now, and nothing has happened. I don't know if this will mean anything to you because this was my boyfriend's experience, not my own. He grew up in Mesa, Arizona. Really early in the morning when he was pretty young, he woke up and couldn't fall back asleep. He looked at the window of his bedroom, and there was a man or wolf crouched down on the driveway facing the window. He described it like a man with a wolf skin or head on top of him. He went back to bed, still couldn't fall asleep, so he went back to the window and the creature was standing right there, with glowing eyes, peering into the window. He freaked out and crawled back into bed, and just tried to go back to bed. could have been a dream. I was 16 at the time. I was driving down a back road with my then boyfriend. He was asleep at the time. It was about 2 a.m. I was half asleep when I saw a deer, but taller, standing on its hind legs. I almost crapped myself as I slammed on the brakes. We made eye contact. My boyfriend woke up from the G-force. He saw it and said, "Drive, drive now." I was in a panic as I shifted into reverse. I sped backward for about 5 miles. I stopped because I hit something. It screamed, human-like, blood everywhere. I looked in the rearview mirror. It was the same deer but more human-like. We sped home and cleaned my truck the next day. I looked in the cab of the truck and saw an eyeball and an antler. I didn't get any photos because my phone was at home. I live on old native land in part of the Four Corners. 40 acres of very isolated property, and there are so many artifacts, bones, arrowheads, worked rocks, etc. It's incredible. There are some cows that occasionally approach one side of the property line, and I like to go feed them with my siblings. I walk down to the fence with my sister, feeding the cows. I see this one that looks just utterly wrong. The angles are all wrong. The legs are slightly too long, it's too bony. Sickly pale-ish color, weirdly angled joints. It was just wrong. My sister takes no notice of this cow, but it's watching me the whole time we feed the cows. As we turn to leave, I keep watching over my shoulder. And it stands up on two back hooves and sprints away, up and over the hill and into the distance. It was so quick. Covered hundreds of feet in seconds. My mom and I go on avid bike rides literally every night we hang out. Not too long ago, last weekend, she had an encounter. She was riding her bike with her headphones in down a very dark and open area of the trail when she saw movement and heard what sounded like a loud yell. No people camp in that area due to the shrubs being practically non-existent, and the trees are dead as well. She described it to me as the most she's ever feared for her life. Now, this weekend, we were coming back from our nightly ride, and I started getting a gut-wrenching feeling while passing a certain place on the trail. I could genuinely feel something watching us. All the hair on my body stood up, and just told me to get the hell out of there as quickly as possible, while she tried to take her sweet time until she saw eyes in the distance. Naturally, I looked at the tree line just to be cautious, and me having the brightest light got the best look at it. I can't even describe what I saw. All I knew was to get out of there at that moment. Just a little context about myself. I live in Southern California near the Mojave Desert. Beyond our backyard is an open desert which is home to coyotes. We've never had any problems with coyotes, and we have a brick wall as a fence in our backyard. Also, I am an I believe it when I see it type of person, and I haven't really put much thought about skinwalkers until fairly recently, thanks to all these TikTok videos that only come at night. Last night, I had a weird encounter when I had to let my dog out to pee. It was about 3:06 in the morning, and as usual, after I let her out, I went back to my room and waited for her to bark to be let back in. After about 15 or so minutes, I heard her barking heavily outside. As I went to check it out, I made a crucial mistake and whistled, as that's how I get her attention and signal her to go back in. She's usually pretty obedient and listens to me. But this time she just wouldn't budge and kept on barking at the corner of our backyard. So, I went and investigated what it is she's barking at. And that's when I heard an owl hoot. Pretty normal so far, as she's usually easily timid when it comes to noises. As I tried to grab her, That's when I thought I heard a person's voice say, "Hey," which got me shook. But then I told myself maybe it was just an owl hooting. I went ahead and continued to try and grab my dog. But she ran the opposite way. And this time I heard a very weird mimic of an owl hooting mixed with a deep human voice. The first thing on my mind was that I needed to go back inside, grab a gun because maybe someone was trying to rob me. But then, I also didn't want to leave my dog behind, and it's very unlikely that they'll be able to scale the fence that easily. Now, at this time, is when I noticed the air smelled like meat left under the sun for days mixed with some rotten egg. Then, all the skinwalker videos from TikTok came rushing into my head, and I wondered if maybe I'm overthinking. So, I told myself, okay, if this is my time to go, then it's my time to go, but I have to grab my dog before I go back inside. Also, during this time, the mimic owl hooting was getting faster and eventually finally started to sound like an actual owl hooting. I don't know why, but this kind of gave me closure that maybe I was overthinking it. I was able to finally grab my dog, rushed inside, locked the door, and went to grab a gun and an emergency flashlight. As I went back outside, I could still faintly smell that rotten egg or meat smell. The hooting finally stopped. I checked the corner and didn't find anything. After being outside for about 5-10 minutes, I decided maybe I am still half asleep. As I was walking back to go inside the house, I glanced once more time at the corner, and I'll never forget how bright the eyes of the owl were staring back at me, and the ominous vibe it was giving. I quickly turned my eyes away, went inside the house, locked all the doors, and closed the curtains. I am not 100% sure what I heard and saw last night, but as I was inspecting the sand from outside of the fence this morning, I didn't see any footprints of any kind. So for now, I am hoping that maybe it was just a regular owl with throat problems, but I could never forget those ominous bright yellow eyes. I live a little ways out in the woods, on a small dirt road with a few neighbors who also live on our small street. It's a quiet place, we all know each other and get along decently. Given that we host little bonfires sometimes and invite the neighbors around to grill and have a few drinks, we often discuss things we've seen lately in our little patch of forest. A group of lovely deer, a mischievous raccoon, or the odd wandering bear often are topics of conversation. However, inevitably we often end up on the subject of a mutual experience most of us have had with unexplainable phenomena happening around our homes. It's no secret that my woods tend to make people a bit uneasy. It's dark, it's quiet, and that tends to make people tense. I'm definitely no different. I don't go outside at dark if I don't have to, and I get spooked at times when an animal makes a ruckus. There are some things, though, that I just can't attribute to animals. To start, I have to go all the way back to when I was 13, when I first moved onto this property. I often felt watched at night. I was terrified to sleep without the lights on. I tried my best to ignore it, but I was honestly terrified to be outside at night or be here alone. For my 14th birthday, I decided to face my fears so I could pitch a tent outside and camp in the yard with a few good friends. One of them left in the middle of the night because they were so anxious. Another left early in the morning after barely sleeping all night. The last friend stayed a couple extra days, but was creeped out the entire time. She claimed to have briefly seen the apparition of a pale woman with dark hair standing in our yard, and felt something touch her at night. She was truly terrified, and I could tell. When I tapped her shoulder, she startled very easily and almost hit me out of fright. This was very abnormal for her. I spoke to my uncle, who lives next door, about the woman she saw, and to my surprise he claimed to have also seen the same apparition multiple times. He wasn't even surprised when I brought it up. I moved out not long after this, but recently moved back. Since returning as an adult, I've heard several stories from my family and neighbors about weird phenomena like this. My uncle has seen the lady, but also shadow figures, and heard some unnatural noises coming from the woods at night. As a man who has lived out here for over 40 years, he's very familiar with the usual sounds of animals and nature, and he didn't think these sounds were natural. His wife has also seen shadow figures and weird masses of black energy. She claimed to have been pushed over by an unseen force after witnessing one of these black masses of energy. She has never gone outside at night since. My grandmother claimed to have been chased by a shadow entity several years ago on this property while walking back from my uncle's. It stopped at her front door and watched her while she cried and called my aunt and uncle for help. Understandably, they said nope and told her to light some sage. A couple neighbors have claimed to have seen similar shadow figures, as well as the apparition of the lady on occasion. I still feel watched, and I regularly cleanse my house to keep whatever is out there as far from my home as possible. A good friend of mine, when I first moved back in, called me with concerns over a dream she had. This was before she had ever seen or set foot on my property. She described my house and property perfectly, and described seeing the same pale woman that multiple people now had seen. I was understandably shaken, considering she'd not once been to my home at the time, and I hadn't really discussed the weird happenings with her. She spent the night one time and refuses to do it again. My street is super creepy, and I have come to accept that something more is here. With all the shared experiences, I can't deny that something is out there. It's been here a long time, and seems to make itself known to anyone who spends enough time here. Some years ago, I was working at a small group home for special needs adults. This incident occurred at 4 or 5 in the morning, so the only people in the home at the time were me, the night nurse, and the residents, who were all asleep, and were all men. The nurse and I were going about our work when we suddenly heard a woman screaming at the top of her lungs. I thought something had happened to the nurse, so I went to find her and asked why she was screaming. She told me she had thought I was the one screaming. We could not figure out for the life of us who or what had made that sound. The especially creepy part was that this happened about 24 hours before one of the residents died. He was receiving hospice care, and we had known he was going to pass, but the sound of a mystery woman screaming shortly before he passed was a creepy coincidence. A couple of possibilities that we thought of and ruled out. Men can alter their voices to sound like a woman screaming. However, we had never heard any of the residents make a sound like that before, and they've never made a sound like that since. All the TVs in the home were off, and the sound did not come from a spot in the home with a TV. None of the residents had phones, radios, tablets, etc. So it couldn't have been from something they were watching or listening to. The sound definitely came from inside the home. Edit, or more accurately, either from inside the home, or from someone or something that was flush against the side of the home. It was close to one of the windows, but someone would have had to be right up against the windows. The nurse and I didn't see anyone near that window or near the home immediately before the sound happened. Edit 2. My spouse just asked if it could have been someone who broke into the home, got scared by something, and ran away. I highly doubt it. This was not a large home. It was 4 or 5 in the morning, so it was very quiet, and it was close enough to shift change that the nurse and I were waiting for the morning shift staff to arrive. We would have noticed someone entering the home. To add to that, there were motion-activated lights at each of the entryways that didn't come on. I think this is what some people would consider shadow people. I've only ever seen black figures when I'm at the park late at night. I kinda just assume it's me seeing things in the dark. Another instance I have of regularly seeing a black figure is in the back seat of my car. Since I started driving in 2020, I've always seen this black figure in the back seat, and friends have too. Along with two other figures, But those ones don't threaten me. Only the black figure. All the figures do in the car is sit there. A few weeks ago, I was getting water at 3 a.m. My kitchen is across from my bedroom, and as I was filling up the cup, I saw what looked like a black figure rush from my mom's room to my room. Only, it wasn't like a human. It crawled like a dog. Or like the girl from The Exorcist and how she crawled down the stairs. I also sometimes see a black figure in the corner of my room. Then most recently, I was coming out of my room and saw a black figure walking in the living room, but it quickly disappeared before I could understand what it was. Then saw my mom in the kitchen. "You weren't just over there," I asked her, pointing to the living room. "No." She laughed it off and didn't ask anything further, nor did I tell her anything more. My dad and little brother have history of seeing black figures everywhere. They don't live with us though. And I've never seen black figures until the first time I was 16. I was playing with an Ouija board with all my friends at my birthday party, and suddenly I see a black figure go from one side of the room and to the other, then disappearing. I look up and everyone is staring at the wall the shadow went into. Even my boyfriend at the time, who was just watching us play. He saw it too. That was in 2018, and I haven't touched an Ouija board since probably 2020. We also haven't lived in that house since 2019. I have other paranormal experiences, but these are the only ones with black figures. First off, I've been a New York State Trooper for 23 years. My story happened off duty. I've seen plenty of weird stuff while on the road. Lots of it is people mostly. The weirdest one I saw was in the summer of 2023 on my way back from a conference in Virginia to Buffalo, New York. I had four guys, all law enforcement, with me in my SUV. We were traveling in Pennsylvania.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
On the crazy 219-322-80 route, probably near Dubois or Clearfield. If you don't know the route, it's highways mixed with local country roads, but roads you're driving 65 miles per hour on, and still in the middle of nowhere. It was late, maybe midnight or 1 a.m., and just me and another guy in the back seat were awake. I was driving with the houses on my right, and woods on the left, in the middle of a heavily wooded area. There are no street lights, so it's pitch black, except for my headlights. I saw this enormous figure swoop over the car about 10 feet up. I caught enough of it in the headlights that it looked humanoid, and had a brown hairy body, but the wings and size were massive. Not like a bird, but like a giant bat or a flying dog, if the dog was a mastiff or short hair. And the eyes were red. I saw it, and my brain registered it. And I looked around and couldn't see any more, because I was going fast enough. As I looked around, I just heard my friend's voice really calmly from the back say, "I saw it too." I just got a chill and kept driving, but we didn't say anything more until we got home. One of my friends later told me that it was probably the Mothman, and I'd have to say that that could probably be the closest thing. I saw something that wasn't a bird, and my friend saw it too. So now when I drive through the no man's land of Pennsylvania, I keep an eye out for whatever the hell that thing was. I was driving west on US 30 Lincoln Way west, approximately 2 miles east of Fort Loudoun, Pennsylvania. Looking to my right or north, maybe 1 mile north of US 30, flying south, low along the top of Tuscarora Mountain, what I thought to be a hang glider. There was a hang glider launched just south of US 30 on top of the mountain. About the amount of time it took me to think, it's gliding very close to the treetops. It flapped its wings, gaining 30-40 feet of elevation, and made a swooping 180-degree descending turn to the mountain's opposite side and out of sight. It was large enough to be mistaken for a hang glider at the range of 2 to 3 miles. I thought it was a glider until it started to flap its wings. This occurred in 1987. I don't know how to explain it. I wanted to get your take and ask you what you think I saw. It's been over 20 years ago now. My family had relocated to St. Albans, West Virginia. There are so many little details that I'm going to try to cram it all into one message here. Back when I was in the fourth grade, my family relocated to St. Albans, West Virginia, and we lived kind of at the end of a cul-de-sac, and if you can imagine, kind of place where you are driving in this very quiet neighborhood, and on the right-hand side, the houses were on flat land. On the left-hand side, there were about four houses that were down over on a hillside, and it was just a continuous drop off this hillside. The houses were on stilts. That was one of our houses. Our first night there, it was at the end of the summer, and it was probably around 9 p.m. when this happened. The sun was going down, but it's still light enough to where you still kind of see the outline of things. But it was dark enough to not see kind of what was standing out in front of you. My older brother and I shared a room, and there was a sliding glass door that went out to a deck that was, of course, on stilts. If you were to walk out on this deck and look over, I mean it's just a straight drop. I mean if you jump off this thing, you would, at least, break your legs and your back, or probably worse. So, our first night there, we're getting ready for bed, and the blinds are kind of tilted open a little bit, and I heard a knock on the sliding glass door, and my brother says, "Who's that?" And I said, "Hey, it's the kid from next door. We had just met earlier that day." That's what it looked like from the outline. I propped the blinds to the side to look at this person. I couldn't make the person out. There was a body. I mean the person was standing right in front of me, but it was just completely dark. The person was just a shadow because I could not see who it was just because it was so dark outside. So when I opened the blinds and saw the thing, it hissed at me and put its hands up like it was making claw marks like it was imitating a cat, and it hissed at me. Then, it took a couple of steps back, looked at me again, got a running start, and completely hurdled the railing on the deck. And that was it. I really didn't think much of it at the time. I keep thinking, what was that on the deck that night? And, I mean, it's crazy and freaky when I think about it. I just get chills, man. It doesn't sound normal. I want to share something with you. I'm 71 years old, and I've done a lot of security guard work. I go to work about 9 o'clock at night when I was working, and there's just one stretch of road in Alabama that it's like you're gonna think I'm nuts. I've always been kind of a believer, but I never really seen something so solid. But I saw these three lights, and I thought it was a guy with an ultra light who lived not far from there. He had an ultra light in the field. I said, "What is this idiot doing out in with an ultra light at night, because it's about 9:30 at night?" Well, it kept coming and I slowed down. I never stopped and it went over me, and there were these three lights, and it was about the size of an ultra light. But there was no sound, and it was about as high up as two telephone poles above me. It went right on across me and just drifted off out of sight. At that same spot about a month before, I had to slam on the brakes to avoid hitting what I thought was a dog, but it was huge. It had like a lion's mane, but the rest was kind of more like a dog, kinda like that thing you've seen on YouTube where that guy dresses his dog up like a lion and scares people. He was coming from the same direction as this triangular thing was but a month or so before. He just crossed the road and went on up to the fence on the other side, and just disappeared to the south, so I don't know if it's one place that something's coming out of there, or just that's where my body chose to shut down and I went totally insane. I could never tell anybody. There was nothing there but the sky, a dark, black sky with these three lights. I told a couple of people when I got to work what I saw, but they know I'm crazy, and then they thought I was nuts. And the creature, whatever it was like twice the size of, I guess it was like a big Saint Bernard or something. And it looked at me and just went on across the road up to the fence, and then it was gone. And this all happened in the exact same spot on this road. I know where it was, and I don't if it is correlated, but at about the same time of night, I was on my way to work because I had a schedule I had to keep. I live about 250 miles from there now. I live down on the Gulf Coast. This happened in the middle of the state, not far from Auburn, Alabama. My first experience happened when I was a child living in a small town in Texas in a house on a few acres of land for horses and cattle. My adoptive family was very Christian, and thus I had a very strict upbringing. They didn't believe in a lot of things other than God. I wasn't allowed to watch very much television. Programming was very restricted and anything racy was completely out of the question. So isolated from the outside world, I naively thought that people actually broke out in song and dance in the real world like I'd seen on the many musicals we watched. Funny, huh? Cute, maybe. But my point is that I'd never heard of nor seen anything about UFOs or aliens before in my life. Until one night I found myself out in the field standing in front of a spaceship. I was in my nightgown, and there was a being in front of me. Behind it stood the open hatch of a light-filled door. I do not remember how I got there or back inside. I have also forgotten what, if anything, was said or done to me at that time. When I spoke about it, I was reprimanded harshly, and told I had an overactive imagination, and it was only a dream. When I insisted on repeating my story, I was punished. I didn't understand why it upset them so much when I said Jesus came down in a UFO. I don't know if that is actually what I saw or what I related it to be as far as my understanding of things at the time. They demanded to know where I'd seen such a thing, and the little television I was allowed to watch became much smaller to the point where to mention what had happened only brought negative consequences. So I stopped talking about it, and subsequently, its details were gone, buried inside my mind like priceless treasure awaiting retrieval. Despite this fact, it remains forever in my memory. One night in early 2004, I was home alone at my apartment in Houston, Texas. As usual, I fell asleep on the couch in front of the television. Shortly after drifting off, I awoke feeling frightened, like I was in danger of some sort, and felt a strong urge to check and make sure the front door was locked. It was, so I laid back down and fell asleep once more. Suddenly, it seemed, I was again awake in my living room. However, I was now upright, gliding seamlessly across the floor. I looked down, realizing that I was not walking, but instead floating towards my bathroom. Upon this realization, I also recognized that I was not asleep, and was consciously thinking to myself, I am floating. A series of emotions ran through me, confusion, fear, as well as excitement as to what was happening to me. But these feelings were tempered, and although I didn't understand why, I felt helpless to do anything to stop it. The bathroom was cold and dark, visibility possible due to the dim light coming from the plug in by the sink. Although I have no memory of putting the toilet seat down, I found myself sitting on it confused. I thought to myself, what am I doing here? As I looked up there in front of me was what is commonly known as a gray. It was standing slightly taller than me as I sat, staring at me stoically with its huge, unblinking eyes. Startled, my regretful reaction was to raise my hand up as if to hit it. My arm was instantly and simultaneously stopped and lowered in a series of short jerks. I immediately thought it was controlling my body, and shortly thereafter realized that although I should have felt more afraid, I wasn't. I then thought to myself, it has subdued my emotions as well. It felt as if I had been drugged, but was wide awake. I felt a little giddy about what was happening. As a matter of fact, I didn't mind at all, and was eager to submit myself to the experience. This is when I found myself wishing I hadn't reacted in fear and raised my hand to it. But it was happening all so fast, and I was not in the least bit in control of the situation. I did not verbally speak, nor did it. But I remember thinking it knew exactly what I was thinking and proceeded with its agenda with astute purpose. I recall getting into the bathtub for some reason, but my memory after that is vague and muddled. I presume this is when it performed whatever experiment or procedure it came to do. When I awoke, the sun was starting to come up. I was oddly lying flat on my back with the covers tucked neatly, carefully under my arms. My chest was beaded with a wet necklace of huge round drops of sweat, and my arms were riddled with goosebumps. I instantly felt a rush of fear and excitement, and also oddly a bit sad as well. My memories were indeed confirmed by the way I found myself. I am a notoriously bad sleeper, and because of a painful back injury and never sleep prone. I had a real sense of missing time and felt a bit groggy. When I went to the bathroom, everything seemed in place outside of the fact that the shower curtain was not only pulled back completely but wet as well. And of course, the toilet seat was still down. There were spots of blood in my panties, and it hurt to urinate. Left only with this most vivid memory that I wanted to share, but found often that when I did it only brought odd silence and strange looks, assurances that it was only a dream. But it was not a dream. Throughout this experience, I was consciously thinking. The details do not fade, and it has not been forgotten like any dream I've ever had. Not even when I showed what I felt proof was I believed. In the big toe of my right foot, I have an implant. There is no visible scar, nor has it ever been painful. It seems right under the skin because its shape can be felt, and the skin slightly raised, however it will not move. I am curious about the implant but do not want it removed. I believe that they are coming back for me to do some kind of doctor-like follow-up. I have been looking ever so forward to it. This experience left me with no lasting effects, but feeling special, chosen, if you like, for some purpose unknown. Almost 10 years passed when, once again, they came to me while I was lying in bed watching television. That familiar feeling suddenly swept over me. I felt like I should check the door. Excited, I slowly got up, trying to be completely aware and careful not to make what I felt like the same mistake of reacting with any kind of fear or non-compliance, so that I might fully have this experience. I wanted to try to communicate and interact with it this time. I opened the door to the starless, midnight sky overhead. Looking out over the pond that usually held the shimmering reflection of the moon pictured on its surface, but tonight it lay empty and still, dark and menacing. I closed the door and was swiftly overtaken and found myself immediately back in bed. I felt a surge of adrenaline as a green light enveloped me, and suddenly had a strong sense of déjà vu. I was once again consciously thinking to myself that it was absolutely happening again. I had it in my mind as to how long ago the prior experience had taken place, but was quickly becoming overwhelmed with the numbing effect of the light. Its fluorescent color made me think to myself jokingly about being in the limelight, so to speak. This experience was a bit different. It all seemed to happen at once, quickly. Space and time were blurred in the limited confines of my travel trailer. All at once I was frozen, stuck in an odd, contorted fetal position. The room was so bright, lit with the huge picture of the television that took up almost the whole wall in front of the bed, along with Jade, radiating in an arc around me on the bed like some strange, stifling blanket. As it dissipated and shrank, I cautiously began to move, my neck stiff and slightly sore from the way my head had been turned. Even though it all seemed instantaneous, I knew a lot of time had passed because the program I had begun watching was not only over, but it was well into a show scheduled hours later. Sitting up, awestruck by it all, filled with wonder and hope, I just smiled. Left wondering when, if ever, they will come again and hoping they will, soon. I was a pizza driver for a while back in college. Did a delivery out to the semi-country area late at night. This was before smartphones, Waze and all that. Of course, the road had no streetlights, so the only light came from people's porch lights, my car's headlights, and the full moon. Finally found the right house and delivered the pizza to a sweet little old lady. But when I turned around to walk back to my car, I couldn't help but instantly stop. There was a strange sensation that I wasn't alone. I was being watched. But I looked around and didn't see anything. Of course, it was dark AF, so who knows. I slowly moved toward my car, and the feeling didn't go away. It only intensified. It was like I was being watched before, but now I was being hunted or something. I looked around and still couldn't see anything. So, I shrugged, figured I was imagining things, and opened my car door, when suddenly I heard a clicking sound. Like something was tapping the pavement in the road really fast. I hopped into my car and barely got the door shut, when this giant Cujo kind of evil dog jumped at the driver window. He was growling, and you could just tell that he wanted a piece of me in a big way. He had drool coming off his mouth, his breath fogged the window, and it was like I could feel the reverb of his growling in my chest through the window. It was only after the fact that I realized how close I came to getting the shit mauled out of me, or possibly killed by some crazy bloodthirsty dog. Postscript: when I got back to the store, half the drivers had heard where I went for the delivery, and they asked me about the dog. Turns out, they'd seen him before, but nobody thought to warn me about it. I went to my mom's bathroom to wash my hands after a long day. The soft glow of the bathroom light spilled into the hallway, casting a warm, inviting ambience. As I approached the half-open door, I caught sight of a pair of feet just behind it. I chuckled, thinking my mother was up to some playful mischief. "Very funny, Ma. I see you," I playfully called out, assuming she was trying to startle me. I proceeded to wash my hands, the water running gently over my fingers. A playful banter with my mom was nothing out of the ordinary. Finishing up, I stepped out of the bathroom, still waiting for her to reveal herself. But there was silence. No response. I furrowed my brow, wondering why she didn't continue the joke, or at least poke her head out from behind the door. I continued down the hallway and made my way to the kitchen, where I found my mother unpacking groceries. It was just the two of us in the house, and nobody else. My curiosity piqued, I asked her, "Hey, who was in your bathroom? You had me convinced you were behind that door." My mother looked puzzled. "What are you talking about? I've been here in the kitchen the whole time." A shiver ran down my spine as the realization hit me. Nobody else had been in the house, and my mother certainly couldn't have been in two places at once. I'm grateful that whatever it was behind that half-open door didn't choose to reveal itself. The strange encounter left an eerie feeling in the back of my mind, and I couldn't help but wonder who or what had been lurking in the bathroom that day. While growing up, I often had opportunities to stay home alone when I was younger, since my mother and father were forced to travel because their parents were ill and lived overseas, and my much older siblings wouldn't get off work until at least an hour or two after I finished school. I was used to being home alone, and actually enjoyed it. One Saturday, when I was 12, My parents had to go to a funeral for an old friend in the next city. My brother had already moved out by then, and my sister was nowhere to be found. So my parents decided to leave me home alone for the entire day. I was so excited. Being home alone for a whole day meant I could blast music and spend as much time as I wanted on the computer. When my brother moved out, we converted his bedroom, the last one at the end of the hallway, into an office, and my computer was in there. We still had dial-up internet at the time, so my parents added an extra phone line in the house, so I would stop taking up their line. I ran into the office to use what I called my personal phone line, to call my friend who lived a few streets over to see if she wanted to come hang out. She was really upset. She told me she was having boyfriend problems, and needed someone to talk to, so she'd be right over. I thought to myself, girl talk means we need a good treat. And ran out of the office so that I could go check out what was in the kitchen. That's when I saw her. A pale woman dressed all in black, with a black bun on her head. Her head tilted as I ran by the corner. I couldn't really see her eyes, but for some reason, I remember thinking that she was smiling. I got some serious chills and felt instantly frozen, but I ignored it, thinking I was paranoid from being alone all day, and ran down the stairs. I couldn't believe my imagination was playing tricks on itself like that. I called my friend to see if she had left yet, and since no one answered the phone at her house, I figured she had. Something still didn't feel right, so I put on my jacket and headed out to the driveway to wait for her. When she arrived, she asked me what I was doing outside. I said, "Something weird just happened, but I'll tell you over white hot chocolate." And we went inside, took off our coats, and drank our hot chocolate in the kitchen, while she told me about the problems she was having with her boyfriend. Since both her boyfriend and I had webcams, and we knew he had friends over, we went into my computer room upstairs to call him, and see if him and his friends wanted to webchat with us. While she was on the phone with him, I was talking to his friend on the computer, and setting up my webcam. While my friend was on the phone, she turned around and looked out the door into the hallway. She told her boyfriend that she'd have to call him back. She looked at me, wide-eyed and white-faced, and said, "There's a woman in your hallway wearing a black dress." I got up from my computer chair and closed the door without looking into the hallway. I frantically tried to remember if I had told her why I was outside when she got there. I then asked her, "Didn't I mention that when you got here?" And she said, "No." And I said, "How was her hair?" And my friend said, "In a bun." We both freaked out, opened the door, made sure the coast was clear, and bolted down the stairs. I called my parents and told them I was going to my friend's house, but they told me they were a few minutes away, and insisted that I wasn't leaving the house. When they got home, I told them what happened, but they didn't believe me. For the next few days, I kept thinking I was seeing her, but I wasn't sure if it was my imagination because I was scared, or because she was really there. Weird things happened too, like the calendar in my bedroom would be upside down when I got home from school, or things would go missing from my room. Eventually, these weird occurrences stopped, but, a couple of months later, we adopted a 2-year-old cat. From the moment she was brought home, all the way up to today, she has 3 or 4 random corners of the house that she meows at constantly, and every once in a while, after meowing at a particular spot, she shrieks and runs away as fast as she can. One of these spots is in my bedroom, and lately she's been meowing at it every night. In grade 9, my best friend and I were having a sleepover at my house. My parents and younger brother were visiting family, so we were home alone. After it was dark outside, we started watching a movie. We were laying on separate couches, watching the TV that was situated next to a door frame that leads to the kitchen, bedrooms, and basement. In a matter of seconds, I see a feminine figure standing in the doorway, facing me, and for some reason I instinctively said, "Don't leave me." My friend laying on the other couch, also saw the figure and said to me, "Don't worry, he'll go away in a second," thinking it was my younger brother. The figure just faded away, kind of like mist, into the other room. We looked at each other and realized what had just happened, then quickly turned on all the lights and sat on the same couch. We're 28 now. Still have absolutely no idea who or what that was or why I said that, but I still think about it often. Not home alone, but upstairs alone. I saw a doppelganger of my mom a few years back, and I think she heard mine. I was sitting in my bed, and looked up when I heard her coming up the stairs. She walked by my door, looking straight at me with no expression, and walked into her room and closed the door. I'd said hi as she walked but figured whatever, she didn't hear me, or maybe she was getting something from her room. Then, about 5 seconds later, she yells up the stairs from downstairs and says, "Did you call me?" And I am not ashamed to say I freaked the F out. She came upstairs, looked down the hall and said, "Did you close my door?" I didn't, and neither did she. She never closed that door because one of our cats primarily lived in her bedroom, and so she always kept the door open so the cat could come and go as she pleased. And it wasn't just closed as if the wind had shut it. It was fully closed and the windows were shut. Ma said she had very clearly heard me yell, "Hey Mom, come here," from upstairs. I had done no such thing. I'm never entirely sure what I believe and what I don't, but I was totally sober, not tired, and it wasn't some movement out of the corner of the eye thing. One night I wasn't feeling very well, and the upstairs had a larger bathroom, downstairs was an old half bath, and I wanted to leave that for her if my wife needed to use it at night, so I figured I might as well sleep in the guest room. My wife did not have a problem with this, as she had work early the next day, and I was constantly getting out of bed with food poisoning. At some point in the night I awoke to the door slowly creak open, and a female voice asking if I was feeling all right. I assumed it was my wife and replied, "Yes honey, I'm fine, see you in the morning." But the door never closed and no footsteps went down the stairs, as I would have heard them in this 1800s home, original wood floors and stairs. We were alone in the house that night. Edit. I asked my wife about it the next morning, and she said never came up to check to on me, let alone wake up during the night. I was facing away from the door when it happened, and the unexpected silence following the question made me turn over to check. The door was wide open, no lights were on, and no footsteps. Quick backstory before I get into what happened. So my parents went away for the weekend because it was their wedding anniversary. It was just me in the house. I'm 19, I do have a sister who's 17, but she went to stay over at a friend's house that night. It was just me and my dog. Earlier that day, I had washed my bed sheets and put them in the dryer. A few hours later, when I went back to see if they had dried, I found out that they didn't, and it turns out the dryer had broken, which was very annoying. I phoned my parents and told them what happened. I went to look to see if I could find any bed sheets to put on my bed till mine dried, but there wasn't any apart from my sister's, whose didn't fit my bed. I just decided that I'll sleep in my parents' bed since it was pretty comfy. Later that night, I'm in bed and my dog is sleeping next to me, and I've got my parents' door slightly open just in case the dog wants to go out of the room in the night. I'm there just watching YouTube while waiting to feel tired enough to sleep when suddenly, I get a very weird feeling come over me. I felt like someone was watching me, and though it was a pretty freaky feeling, I was with my dog, so I wasn't completely scared or alone. I turned the lamp on and tried to fall asleep because my phone was about to die. It's almost 3 in the morning, I think it was like 2:55-6 when I woke up. I don't normally wake up randomly at those times. I look over and my dog is asleep at the bottom of the bed, and I look to the door and see what looked like someone kneeling on the floor, and kind of holding themselves up by resting on the wall. I was looking for probably a minute to work out what I was looking at, and it looked like a person, so I hid under the blanket and stayed under there for a few minutes. Eventually, I got the courage to look, and when I did, it was gone. I didn't properly go to sleep after that. It was maybe around 5-ish in the morning when I did finally sleep, and now my sleep schedule is kind of ruined. Not really sure what that whole thing was about. There was nothing by the door that could have made a shape that matches someone kneeling and leaning against the wall. I don't think my house is haunted because this is the first time anything has happened, and my parents' house isn't extremely old. It was built in the 80s. This was a few days ago, and everyone is home now, thank God. Nothing has happened since. Let me know what you guys think. Something just triggered this memory, and I had completely forgotten about it. When I was about 12, my mom was working later than usual, and because of that I ended up being home alone. It was late summer, so 7:30 p.m., it was dusk, but not fully dark. I heard the doorbell go and assumed my mom had her hands full and couldn't find her keys. I opened the door and I stopped cold in my tracks when I noticed three males. They said they were from some kind of energy company and asked if my parents were home. I lied and said my mom was upstairs in the bath and closed the door. I quickly sped down the hall and went into the living room, where I dropped to the floor in a panic and crawled to the window to look. I could hear them laughing, and they sounded like a bawdy group of lads on a night out. They knocked a few more times. This is when I started to fully panic. They even opened the letterbox for some reason a couple times. Finally, I heard the sounds of them getting quieter, so I peeked, and they were leaving. They never went to another house in the neighborhood, and I have this awful feeling knowing they didn't knock on any other houses after mine.